Going to start into a study this morning on music in church. I've talked about this in passing in different sermons over the years, but I've never done an exhaustive study on it, and that's what I want to do probably for the next 4 weeks. As we all know, I'm sure everybody that's part of this church and those who have ever visited it know that musical instruments are not used in our church service. And there's a reason for that. And it's not because we don't have musicians in this church. We have several musicians in this church. And it's not because we don't have instruments. We got a piano sitting right there in the house that we're meeting in right now. So we certainly could have musical instruments accompanying our worship service if we wanted to. But we don't have those things. And there's a reason for that. And it's because that there is no commandment or no example or no justification for that in the scripture. So we want to do things the way that God says to do them, and there is no commandment, example, or justification for that, and that's why we don't do it. And so what I want to do in this study is to give you the biblical reasons why we sing a cappella and we don't use musical instruments. What I'll do first of all is just go through an overview of what I'm going to cover over the next several weeks here. Today I'm going to start off by giving a brief overview of music in worship throughout the history of God's religion. So we're going to start from the very beginning of time and go the whole way up until now, and it's just going to take a couple of minutes. It's going to be an extremely brief overview. And then I want to look at the use of musical instruments in the Old Testament church, and we will spend the remainder of the sermon today looking at that. That's where all the examples of instruments being used in worship are found in the Old Testament, and we're going to look at that. Then next time we'll look at the use of musical instruments, or the lack thereof, in the New Testament church. I'm going to go through at that time, and I'm going to give you every single reference to a musical instrument in the New Testament. Not just in the New Testament church, I mean in the New Testament itself. All 27 books, I'm going to give you every single instance of a musical instrument mentioned. It's not going to take that long because there aren't that many. There are numerous ones, but it won't take that long. Then we're going to look at the commandments in the New Testament regarding music in church. So we do have music in church, just to make sure to clear up an understanding, a misunderstanding. We have music in church. Singing is music. When people find out we don't use instruments in our church, they say, oh, you don't have music in your church. Well, it's because you don't know what music is. We do have music. We just don't have instrumental music in our church. And then we're going to look at how musical instruments in the New Testament church is unbiblical, and I'm going to prove that to you. My goal in this study is to provide a study that whenever you have finished listening to it, there will be absolutely no doubt in your mind whatsoever that musical instruments are not to be used in the New Testament church. If your standard is the scripture alone, I guarantee you, if that's your standard and if you're an honest person, you will walk out of here knowing of an absolute surety that musical instruments have no place in the New Testament church. Now, that's a bold claim, but I endeavor to do that, and I think that I will be able to, because that is how rock solid of a case there is in the scripture for it. Then we're going to look at the purpose of music in the New Testament church. We're going to look at why musical instruments in the Old Testament church are not carried over into the New Testament church. And I'm going to give you some reasons for that. I'm also going to give you some quotes from commentators throughout the years, going back hundreds and hundreds of years. And I'm going to show you all kinds of commentators, popular commentators out there that everybody's heard of. And I'm going to show you how they did not have musical instruments in their churches, and they made the same biblical arguments that we do. This is not something that we've come up with. This is something that was normal, or at least not unheard of anyway, and I think normal in ages past in Christian churches. So I'm going to give you plenty of comments from people on that, and you'll find some of them humorous. Then we're going to look at musical instruments in heaven, because that's one of the arguments that is used, that, well, there'll be instruments in heaven, so why don't we have them in the church on earth? And then I'm going to go through a whole bunch of objections. I'm going to go through every objection I've ever heard or ever could think of, and I'm going to answer them all, Lord willing. And then I will end by showing that the burden of proof is on the people that want to have instruments in the church, not on us who do not have them. Everybody wants us to defend our position. Why don't you have instruments? Just turn it right back around on them. Why do you have instruments? Give me a verse in the New Testament that says we have to have instruments in the church. And it's going to be crickets, because there is none. So anyway, this should be interesting, I hope. So let's start off where I said we would, with just a brief overview of music in the worship service of God and his religion. So we'll start off with Adam to Noah, that first period there. From Adam to Noah, of course, men worshipped. Cain and Abel offered sacrifices to the Lord, right? There was worship from the very beginning. But you go back there and read, and you will not find one instance of musical instruments in God's worship from Adam to Noah. Then we go from Noah to Abraham after the flood. And once again, men worshipped. Abraham built an altar, and he worshipped the Lord. You will not find one instance of musical instruments in God's worship from Noah to Abraham. Then from Abraham to Moses, you will not find one instance of a musical instrument being used to worship God during that time. Now that covers 2,500 years of earth history, the first 2,500 years. That's a big chunk. That's almost half of the time that human beings have been on this earth, not one single musical instrument used in God's worship. Then we get to Moses. From Moses to Christ, that would be the period of the Old Testament, or the Old Covenant. Moses was commanded to make two silver trumpets that were to be used to call the assembly together to the tabernacle. This is the first use of instruments in God's worship. But the only thing that they were there for was to be blown so that people heard them and came and assembled together for church. That was it. They were not played and people sang along with them or any such thing. Those were the only musical instruments that God commanded in the law of Moses. That's another 500 years of history. So now we have 3,000 years where there was not one single instance of churches worshiping God, singing accompanied by musical instruments. For 3,000 years, for half of Earth's history, there was not instrumental music in the church. Then long after the law of Moses was written, David added numerous musical instruments to God's worship service. And we're going to look at that today. And I am going to show you verse after verse after verse, tons of verses, which say that David introduced these. The instruments of David, 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 David. Almost every single place you read about an instrument in the Old Testament, it will specify which David introduced. And I'll show them to you. There are tons of them. Most people don't know this. They just assume, oh yeah, God told them to use harps and cymbals and all these things to worship him. No, God didn't. God did not do that. I will show you what God did in response to what David did, but David did that. David came up with that, not God. So that's about 1,000 years of earth history there that the Old Testament church, because of David, had instrumental music in their worship service. And then we come to the New Testament. In the New Testament, saints are commanded by the New Testament to sing in church. I'll just read these verses to you, and we'll get to them next Sunday as well. Ephesians 5 and verse 19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart, not on the piano, in your heart to the Lord. No mention of instruments there at all. And I'm going to get into this in great detail, so I'm not going to cover it now. And then also in Colossians 3 and verse 16. Colossians 3 and verse 16 says, let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So along comes the New Testament, and we are only told to sing. And like I said, I will get into that in a lot more detail next Sunday, Lord willing. There's no commandment in the New Testament to use musical instruments in the church, and there are no examples in the New Testament of musical instruments being used in the church. That's 2,000 years of church history. So we've got 3,000 years for the first half of world history, no instrumental music in the church save two trumpets that call the people to come to church. 1,000 years, David comes up with some neat ideas, and God okays it. And they have instruments. 2,000 years, no instruments authorized. So, for 5,000 years of earth history, God says no instruments. 1,000 years, David comes up with something, and God allows it. That's a brief synopsis of musical instruments in God's religion. And I will prove that to you here as we go through this today. So like I said, the burden of proof is on the people that want the instruments, not on us who do not use them because we don't have biblical license to. So let's look at the use of musical instruments in the Old Testament church. We'll look at prior to the law of Moses first. So like I said earlier, there's no record of musical instruments being used in worship during the patriarchal age, from Adam to Noah to Abraham, and then up till the time of Moses, no record of it there at all. The first mention of musical instruments in the Bible is back in Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 21. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 21. It says, "And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ." That's the first mention of any kind of musical instrument. And they were created by a guy named Jubal. Now, Jubal was the great-great-great-great-grandson of Cain. And you can read about that. I'm not going to read it, but in Genesis 4, 16 through 21, you can count the generations there from Cain to Jubal, and there's four greats in there, great-grandson, that is. So I want you to note something, though. There were musical instruments available to men for hundreds, and actually even thousands of years prior to Moses, but God never commanded them to be used in worship. They were around from near the beginning, anyway. You know, four generations from Cain, which is not all that long, maybe, you know, a couple hundred years at the most. So almost from the very beginning, there were musical instruments used, and for thousands of years, while they were around and men were using them, God never told anybody to use them in his worship. Now let's look at musical instruments in the law of Moses. Like I mentioned earlier, God had commanded Moses in Numbers 10, 2 through 3, that two silver trumpets were to be used to call the assembly together at the tabernacle. Numbers 10, 2 through 3. Most people would be shocked to find out that these were the only musical instruments in the law of Moses, and they are. There's not a single other musical instrument mentioned in the law of Moses. I'll get to that point in just a second. Numbers 10, 2 through 3. And let me say, I forgot to say this at the outset. I am not against instrumental music. I love instrumental music. I can't play any of it myself, but I love it. I love classical music. I don't think any of us in this room are against instrumental music. Obviously not. We are against it in the church service because God doesn't want it in the church service. But we're not against instrumental music, certainly. So anyway, Numbers 10, 2 through 3. We'll just start with verse 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make them, and that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble them to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." So right there, two silver trumpets, and the purpose is to get the whole nation, that was the church at that time, to assemble at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. The tabernacle is where they worshipped God. So that was to call all Israel. They didn't have cell phones and texting and everything in those days. They'd blow the trumpets. You'd hear the trumpet blow. It's time to go to church. The trumpets were blown during their solemn days when they offered sacrifices. So they were used during their worship in this case too. Not accompanied with singing that we ever read of, as far as I know. Numbers 10 and verse 10. It says, "And in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginning of your months, ye shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings, and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God." So when in their solemn days, when they would offer the sacrifices, they would blow the trumpets over them. And that's about it. They weren't making a tune with the trumpets so they could sing along with them or something. We don't ever read about that. The trumpets were also used to call men to war. Read about that in verses 4 through 6 and verse 9. It says, "And if they blow with but one trumpet, then the princes, which are heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. When ye blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east parts shall go forward. When ye blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys." And then down in verse 9, it says, "And if ye go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies." So these trumpets had a twofold purpose: to call the assembly together to worship, and to call them together to war. And it's interesting. The Christian life is warfare, right? So the same thing that calls us to worship calls us to war. God's word calls us to worship. God's word calls us to warfare, spiritual warfare, that is. The only ones that were supposed to blow these trumpets were the priests, the sons of Aaron. You know, there was no old church lady blowing the trumpet like we have today, right, where you got the old church lady that plays the piano. It was the priests. So I guess if you want to go back to the original mandate that God gave his church of musical instruments being used, and you somehow think that we can transfer that into the church and then change it into a piano, well, then I guess it ought to be the pastor, or we don't even have a priest per se. It ought to be the pastor, I suppose, that's playing the piano. And if there was ever a reason for us not to have instrumental music in this church, it would be because I would be playing the piano. That'd be the most hideous thing you've ever heard. Numbers 10, 7 through 8 says that the priests were to do it. It says, "And when the congregation is to be gathered together, ye shall blow, but ye shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations." So this is interesting. I did a search. There is no mention of any other musical instruments used in worship in the Law of Moses. From Genesis to Deuteronomy, not one single mention of any musical instruments used in worship. And I did another search. The word music or musical is not found in the Law of Moses. Genesis to Deuteronomy. Those words are not found. Totally absent. Now, let's look at when musical instruments were introduced into the Old Testament church. And that was long after the Law of Moses was written. And they were added by King David. King David was a talented musician. Look at 1 Samuel 16. 16 through 18. I think this is a point that David added instruments to God's worship. I think this is a point that very few people know. They don't realize this. I didn't know it until the first time somebody pointed it out to me a long time ago. I think most people are totally unaware of this. They just assume that God ordained all this in the law, but he never did. I just showed you. Genesis to Deuteronomy, there's not one single mention of a musical instrument in worship other than those silver trumpets. 1 Samuel 16, 16 through 18. David was a musician. David wrote many of the Psalms. And the Psalms, if you didn't know this, were songs. That's what psalm means, is song. They were songs. So the book of Psalms was their hymnal, basically, in the Old Testament religion. I'm assuming in the Hebrew, they were probably written with meter and rhyme and melody and that kind of thing. And I don't know if all of that probably doesn't translate over into another language where, you know, if you take words that rhymed at the end of each line in Hebrew, those same words translated into English may not rhyme, right? That just makes sense. So they may not be as easy to sing, they probably are not, I'm assuming, as easy to sing for us as they would have been for them, because they were actually songs for them. But some people have done a pretty nice job turning some of the Psalms in our King James Bible into songs, like Psalm 19. That can be sung, part of it can be sung beautifully. It's one of the most beautiful hymns I've ever heard. But anyway, David was a musician, that's why he wrote all those Psalms. But 1 Samuel 16, 16 through 18 says, "Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp, And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, this is talking about King Saul, he had the evil spirit that was upon him, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him, and he can play well. So he was a good player on an instrument. What was it? On a harp. And you just think about what a well-rounded man David was. You look at that. That is a definition of a highly educated, highly cultured man. Cunning in playing, so he has musical talent. Mighty valiant man, he's strong, courageous. He's a man of war, he knows how to be a soldier. He's prudent in matters, which means he's wise. He's a comely person, which means he's good looking. And the Lord is with him, so he's a spiritual man. It doesn't get any better than that. I mean, he was an amazing man. I just wish I had like one of those qualities. That'd be awesome. But he was really something. Now, the first mention of instruments of music in the service of God is in 1 Chronicles 15 and verse 16, when David instructed the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers with instruments of music, psalteries, harps, and cymbals. 1 Chronicles 15. Now, if you know anything about the Old Testament, you know that in the Jewish canon of the Old Testament, the order in which the books were put in the Hebrew Old Testament ended with 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles was the last book of the Hebrew Old Testament. All right, it wasn't the last book written chronologically, but it was the last book that they put in their collection of books, like physically at the end. And I just think it's interesting that you would have to have read the whole way, you know, way to the end of the book to find instruments in the church, which is just kind of curious. At least this is the first mention, and maybe this wouldn't work out because this is the first mention of it in our Bible. So I guess in their Bible, maybe it was mentioned earlier than that. So maybe that's not such an interesting point after all. But I still find it kind of interesting. 1 Chronicles 15 and verse 16. But the point is, this was a long, long time after the Lord gave the law to Moses. 1 Chronicles 15 and verse 16. It says, and David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be singers with instruments of music, psalteries and harps and cymbals, sounding by lifting up the voice with joy. David spake to the Levites to appoint them to be singers and players of these instruments. So David instituted this. This was not part of the worship of God at the tabernacle that God had ordained in the law of Moses. We already saw that. This particular instance here was a celebration that David led when the Ark of the Covenant was transported from the house of Obed-Edom to Jerusalem, which was the city of David. Because you remember, the Ark of the Covenant got stolen by the Philistines. They'd won a battle with Israel, and they had taken the Ark. Israel had taken the Ark out with them to battle, and they lost the battle and lost the Ark. The Ark went to the Philistines. Well, Philistines didn't exactly honor that ark, and they weren't supposed to have it in the first place, and God gave them hemorrhoids. Hemorrhoids, the Bible calls them. And they decided that this ark is causing us way too much. I mean, this ark is a pain in the butt, literally. It's a pain in the butt. So they got rid of it, and they sent it back, and it ended up in the house of a guy named Obed-Edom. And then they also made little nice golden hemorrhoids to send with them, if you remember that. No kidding. Some guy posed for it, and the other ones carved up some hemorrhoids, made of gold, and sent it along as a present. Heathens do some strange things. Look at 1 Chronicles 15, 25 through 29. 1 Chronicles 15, 25 through 29. So David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. And it came to pass, when God helped the Levites that bare the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, that they offered 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, and all the Levites that bare the Ark and the singers, and Kenaniah, the master of the song with the singers. David also had upon him an ephod of linen. Thus all Israel brought up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord with shouting, and with the sound of the cornet, that's an instrument, and with trumpets, and with cymbals, making a noise with psalteries and harps. So this was quite a celebration here, quite a musical celebration. And it came to pass, as the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, this is David's wife, looking out at the window, saw King David dancing and playing, and she despised him in her heart. So David brings the Ark from the house of Obed-Edom to his city, to the city of David, accompanied by quite the orchestra here. This was something new. This had not happened prior to this in Israel's history. So the Ark was placed in a tent that David made for it. This is another interesting thing that I bet you a lot of people are unaware of. This tabernacle that the Ark went into was not the tabernacle of God. This was not the tabernacle that God had ordained in the wilderness. This was a tabernacle that David set up for it. This was a different tabernacle, a different tent. 1 Chronicles 16:1-2. So they brought the Ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. So the Ark gets brought into David's tent, David's tabernacle, accompanied with David's instruments. But yet, this tabernacle was called the tabernacle of the Lord. 1 Chronicles 16:39. And Zadok the priest and his brethren the priest before the tabernacle of the Lord in the high place that was at Gibeon. This is referring to the tabernacle of David there. It was called the tabernacle of the Lord. So the Lord allowed David to use that tabernacle to house the ark and to worship him in. It is interesting that the tabernacle of David is mentioned in the New Testament. And this was used by James to say that the Lord was going to bring the Gentiles into his church. And he refers to it as the tabernacle of David being set up. Christ is David's son. Christ is the head of the church. Kind of all fits there together. But that's kind of, I don't want to get into that in much detail. We can talk about that some other time. So the instruments that were used here in this tabernacle were not the instruments that God had ordained in the law of Moses, the 2 silver trumpets. Yet, they were called musical instruments of God. So these instruments that David used were called musical instruments of God. And I will explain why this is here in a second. 1 Chronicles 16:42 says, "And with them Heman and Jeduthun with trumpets and cymbals for those that should make a sound, and with the musical instruments of God, and the sons of Jeduthun were porters." So these instruments here were called the musical instruments of God. Now somebody might say, well, if they're the musical instruments of God, that must mean that God was the one that ordained them. But not so fast. I will explain to you why they were called the musical instruments of God. Just the same reason why David's tabernacle was called the tabernacle of God. God allowed it. You know, God didn't command it, but God allowed it. So the Lord permitted these instruments to be used in the tabernacle of David, though it was not his original design. And I can give you a couple of examples in the scripture to illustrate this. Think about the laws for divorce. God permitted divorce because of the hardness of the hearts of the Jews, though it was not his original design. Let's look at Matthew 19:8. Just because God permits something does not mean that that was what God initially wanted, what God commanded. He does allow things that were not what he wanted. Matthew 19:8. He saith unto them, this is Jesus speaking, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. This was not God's original intent. But because of the hardness of their heart, God allowed it. He permitted them to do it. God even permitted polygamy without judging David for it, even though he specifically stated that the king was not to multiply wives to himself. God never ordained polygamy, right? He never commanded polygamy. He commanded it to be one husband, one man, one woman, one marriage relationship for life. But not only did God never command polygamy, God specifically forbid polygamy to the king. Look at Deuteronomy 17:17, and I'll get to where David was a polygamist here in a second, but let's first of all look at Deuteronomy 17 in verse 17. We're going to show you here that God allowed something that he strictly forbid in his law, and yet he permitted it. Deuteronomy 17 and verse 17. This is the law for the king of Israel. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. And he wasn't supposed to multiply to himself horses either there in verse 16. And it's interesting, what did the kings of Israel do? Specifically, I think of King Solomon. What did he do? He multiplied horses from Egypt. He multiplied silver and gold so that it was like stones in Jerusalem. And he had 1,000 wives, or 700 wives and 300 concubines. Didn't pay much attention to what the Lord said there. But neither did David, because the Lord specifically said, neither shall he multiply wives to himself. Well, let me show you that David multiplied wives to himself. Look at 2 Samuel 3, 2 through 5. 2 Samuel 3, 2 through 5. And once we get through this, then I'm going to show you what the point is, why I'm using these verses. 2 Samuel 3, 2 through 5. Let me show you that David multiplied wives. It says, and unto David were sons born in Hebron, and his firstborn was Amnon of Ahinoam, that's his first wife, of the Jezreelitess, and his second, Keliab of Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite, and the third, Absalom, son of Maacah, that's his third wife, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur, and the fourth, Adonijah, the son of Haggith, that's his, what, fifth, one, two, three, this is his fourth, I think, and the fifth, Shephatiah, the son of Abital, that's his fifth wife, and the sixth, Ithream by Eglah. That's a nice name for a wife, huh? Eglah, David's wife. These were born to David in Hebron. So there he had six wives, but it doesn't end there. Just turn over to 2 Samuel 5 and verse 13. 2 Samuel 5:13. It says, and David took him more concubines and wives out of Jerusalem after he was come from Hebron, and there were yet sons and daughters born to David. That doesn't even include Bathsheba in that list. So there's seven, including Bathsheba. And then he took more concubines and wives after that. So this guy had all kinds of wives. And yet the Lord said, the king shall not multiply to himself wives. So therefore, just because God allowed David to add instruments in his worship service doesn't mean that he initially commanded him to do so or that he even wanted him to do so. The Lord did not command David to take wives. The Lord did not want David to take wives. The Lord told him specifically, do not multiply wives. And yet David did it, and God allowed him to do it. It's the same thing with the instruments. God didn't command them. God didn't even want them, because if he wanted them, he would have commanded them. And yet he allowed David to do it. Same thing with the divorce laws. Didn't want it, didn't command it, but allowed it to happen because of the hardness of their hearts. So Israel went from having two priests blow two trumpets to call the assembly together and to blow the trumpets over the sacrifice. He went from that, under the law of Moses, to having 4,000 Levites playing musical instruments which David made. This is what happens whenever men start to come up with their ideas about what we should do for church. You go from having two guys with two trumpets to having 4,000 musical instrument players in the church. 1 Chronicles 23 and verse 5. First Chronicles 23:5. See, you don't let the camel's nose under the tent. If I let Judy start playing that piano, which she wouldn't, but if I let Judy start playing that piano for church, before you know it, we'd have a whole 50-piece orchestra in here. We don't need that. 1 Chronicles 23 and verse 5. Moreover, 4,000 were porters, and 4,000 praised the Lord with the instruments which I made, said David, to praise therewith. There is just one of the many places we're going to see which David made. 4,000 Levites praised the Lord with instruments. This was David's invention. Now you say, well, that's a ridiculous example about having an orchestra in here. But think about in the history of churches in this country, which didn't used to have instrumental music. And then it's, well, it's just a piano. Oh, it's just an organ. And now look at what quote-unquote churches have. They've got electric guitars, they've got drum sets. It is a rock band up there. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's quite disgusting. So the instruments of music which David used when he brought the Ark of the Covenant to his tabernacle were also used when the Ark was transferred from David's tabernacle to the newly built temple. In 1 Chronicles, not Corinthians, like it says in the outline, Don pointed that out to me early this morning, whenever you noticed that. 1 Chronicles 5, 1 through 2. 2 Chronicles, there we go. 2 Chronicles 5, 1 through 2. So it started out, really, it started out just when David was going to move the ark. He wants to spice things up a little bit. And so when he moves the ark, he has all these instruments along with it. Well, then he ordains the instruments in his tabernacle whenever they're going to worship God. Well, then those same instruments get carried over into the temple after Solomon builds the temple many years later. That's the problem. Whenever you start into something, then it's really hard to stop. It's kind of like a government program. Have you ever heard of a government program get canceled? No. And whenever the government program doesn't work, what do? Well, they just throw more money at it, right? It's just got to get bigger. Well, you know, same thing. You put a piano in the church and before you know it, we just got to keep putting more and more, because nowadays, I can imagine there was a time whenever you had a cappella singing churches and then some church had a piano. And the goats out there that like to be entertained think, oh, I like the sound of a piano. I want to go to this church. Well, you know what? It didn't take too long before the piano wasn't enough either. And now it needs to be an organ, or now it needs to be a rock band, right? It's never enough. To keep the goats entertained, you've got to keep up with the world. So if the world's got rock and roll, well, you better have it too. Just say the name of Jesus in there and everything's cool. 2 Chronicles 5, 1 through 2. Thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished, and Solomon brought in all the things that David his father had dedicated, and the silver and the gold and all the instruments, put he among the treasures of the house of God. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. And then if you go down to verses 12 and 13, it says, also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman, of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests, sounding with trumpets. It came to pass, as the trumpets and the singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in the praising and thanking the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. So whenever they switched over from the tabernacle worship to the temple worship, the musical instruments went with them. And they had all kinds of them, as we just read there. Psalteries and harps, cymbals, trumpets, had a whole bunch of stuff. Now during the dedication of the temple, the, quote, instruments of music of the Lord were, quote, or were used, quote, which David the king had made to praise the Lord. 2 Chronicles 7:5-6. We're going to be going through several verses here which tell us who introduced these instruments. 2 Chronicles 7:5-6. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep, and the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. And the priests waited on their offices, the Levites also, with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever, when David praised by their ministry. And the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. The instruments are credited to David. Now it says they're the instruments of music of the Lord. God allowed them into his service, and he calls them his own, but yet David was the one that first introduced them. I'll elaborate on this in just a second. Now during the days of Hezekiah, he commanded that the house of God be reopened and cleansed of the filthiness that had been brought into it. Look at 2 Chronicles 29:3-5. There had been a period there where the house of God was not in use, and it had been polluted, and Hezekiah had a revival in the nation, and they cleansed the house of all the filthiness, of all the idols and pollutions. He restored it. 2 Chronicles 29:3-5. It says, he in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the princes, or the priests, pardon me. He brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street and said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of this holy place. And then Hezekiah sets the Levites in the house of God with musical instruments according to the commandment of David. Let's look at 2 Chronicles 29:25. So once he gets the filthiness taken out and he gets the doors repaired and he gets the house of God open again, now he brings in the musical instruments that David created. 2 Chronicles 29:25. I'm just going to read the first part of this verse. And he set the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with psalteries, and with harps, according to the commandment of David, and of Gad the king's seer, and Nathan the prophet, according to the commandment of David. And we see this over and over again. The instruments were at the commandment of David, not at the commandment of God. Now, as was mentioned earlier, though it was not the Lord's original design, he did command his prophets to tell the people to use the instruments that David ordained. Let's look at the last part of that verse, 2 Chronicles 29:25, says, for so was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. Now, this is akin to God giving commandments regulating divorce and remarriage, even though it was not his original design. God never commanded initially divorce and remarriage, but because of the hardness of their hearts, God suffered them to do it, and then he regulated it. See, this is what God does. If people want something, he will give it to them, but then he'll regulate it. And this is what he did with divorce and remarriage in the Old Testament law. Deuteronomy 24:1-4. It says, when a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. And when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. And if the latter husband hate her and write her a bill of divorcement and giveth it into her hand and sendeth her out of his house, or if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife after that she is defiled. For that is abomination before the Lord. And thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Jesus made it clear that this was not God's original intent, but yet God gave laws regulating the divorce, which you could only do it under certain circumstances, and then, you know, there were There were laws associated with it, but not God's original plan. Likewise, God gave commandments regulating polygamy, although it was not his original design, and he flat out forbid the king from doing it, but yet he gave laws to regulate what he had told them not to do. Exodus 21, 10 through 11. Exodus 21, 10 through 11. Just like having a king for the nation of Israel was not God's original plan. God had given them judges. They wanted a king. God says, okay, you want a king? I'll give you a king. Here's what's going to happen. And then God made laws regulating what the king could do and what he couldn't do. But that was not his original plan. It's just, I believe, it's just like instruments in the church. It was the same thing. Not his original plan, but then he gave laws regulating it. Exodus 21, 10 through 11. It says, if he take him another wife, her food, her raiment, and her duty of marriage shall he not diminish. And if he do not these three unto her, then she shall go free without money. So if a man had a wife already and he takes another one, he's got to provide the second one with food, clothing, and sex. That's the duty of marriage. Those three things. And if he didn't do that, she would get to go free. So God, like I said, regulated something that he originally did not want and even forbid. But yet, because of the hardness of their hearts, he allowed them to do it and then made laws governing it. Like Matthew 19:8 tells us, God suffered these things and then regulated them due to the hardness of their hearts. So it was with musical instruments and worship. They were not part of God's original design, but he allowed them and then gave commandments regulating them. Let me just give you a couple of more verses here that show that these were indeed the instruments of David. I really want to hammer this one home. 2 Chronicles 29, 26. Because this will be one of the major arguments that you will get from people whenever you say that we don't have musical instruments in our church, and they'll be like, well, they had them in the Old Testament. They had psalms and psalteries and harps and cymbals and trumpets, and they had all kinds of instruments. Why wouldn't we have them today? If God wanted them in the Old Testament, why wouldn't he want them in the New Testament? You know what the answer is? God didn't want them in the Old Testament. God never commanded them. If God wanted them, he would have come up with them, not David. But David is specifically given the credit for coming up with the instruments. 2 Chronicles 29 and verse 26. 2 Chronicles 29, 26. And the Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. It's interesting. The priests have the trumpets. That's the part that God commanded. Remember? God gave the two trumpets, and who did he give them to? The priests. The Levites had the instruments of whom? David. See, you have a mixture here. You have a mixture of God's pure religion that he commanded, and then additions of men that God allowed. That's what was going on there. The singing was accompanied by instruments ordained by David, which they used as they worshiped God. Look at 2 Chronicles 29, 27. I realize I'm giving you a lot of verses here, but I want to thoroughly establish that it was David's idea, not God's. 2 Chronicles 29, 27, and Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar, and when the burnt offering began, the sound of the Lord began also with the trumpets, and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. Remember back in Exodus? They were to blow the trumpets to call the assembly, and they were to blow the trumpets when they made the offering. They're doing what God said, but then they also add in the instruments ordained by David. And God is very clear there every time, ordained by David. And they used this to worship God, verses 28 through 30. And all the congregation worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded. And all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had made an end of offering, the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves in worship. Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. And they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshipped. When it says there with the words of David, you know what they're talking about? And Asaph? They're talking about the Psalms. You look through the Psalms, a lot of the Psalms are of David, and a lot of the Psalms are of Asaph. You look at the title of the Psalms, and you'll see that. That's the words of David and Asaph that they were using. Those were their hymns, essentially. Now, at the dedication of the rebuilt wall in Jerusalem after the Babylonian destruction, the singers and the players of the cymbals, psalteries, and harps, which David had ordained, were again used, which were the musical instruments of David. Let's look at Nehemiah 12 and verse 27. Nehemiah 12, 27. We're going to see here how this got passed down. It started off with David moving the ark from the house of Obed-Edom to his own tabernacle, and he used instruments. Then he brought those instruments into the tabernacle worship of God. Then those instruments were carried over into the temple whenever Solomon dedicated it. Then the temple in Jerusalem were destroyed by the Babylonians many years later. After 70 years, the Lord brought them back, and they rebuilt the temple or the wall in Jerusalem. And guess what? They bring back the instruments that David had ordained again. Nehemiah 12 and verse 27. And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. And then if you look down in verse 36, we'll see that these were the ones that David had ordained. Verse 36 says, and his brethren, Shemaiah and Azarel, Milalai, I'm just going to skip those names, with the musical instruments of David, the man of God, and Ezra the scribe before them. The musical instruments of David is what I wanted, not the pronunciation of those names. Now, when the foundation of the second temple was laid, the Levites praised the Lord with cymbals after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. So they built the wall around Jerusalem. They bring out the instruments of David. Then they lay the foundation of the temple, and they bring out the instruments of David. Ezra 3 and verse 10. Ezra 3 and verse 10. It says, and when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. Once again, they've got the priests with the trumpets that God said, and then they've got the Levites with the cymbals that David ordained. I just think it's so interesting. Every time, virtually, I don't know, I'd have to look, but virtually every time instruments are mentioned in the Old Testament, it attributes them to David. There's a reason for that. I assure you there's a reason for that. God wants us to know that David instituted those instruments, not him. And let me give you one more to show that it was David, not God, who invented the instruments of music that were used in Old Testament worship service. In the book of Amos, Amos 6 and verse 5, back in the Minor Prophets. Amos 6 and verse 5. It says there, talking about these sinners of Israel, in verse 4, that lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches and eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the stall, out of the midst of the stall, that chant to the sound of the viol and invent to themselves instruments of music like David. They invent instruments of music like David. David invented those instruments of music to be used in the Lord's service. Some people like to use this verse, and they like to use the one, I will just briefly touch on this, they like to use the one earlier here in verse 21, where the Lord says, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vials, but let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. Now people sometimes will go to this verse and say, see, God hated that stuff. He said, take it away, take away the vials, take away all the instruments. He also said, I despise your feast days. God ordained the feast days. So you don't, I think it's an error to go to this verse to say that God hated those instruments and he didn't even want them at all. God never ordained them. God permitted them and allowed them, but he didn't say, get them out of here, I hate them. So I think it's an error. What God is saying here is he's so disgusted with Israel's sin that he says all of this religion, even the part that I ordained, it's just sickening to me. You can read about that in Isaiah chapter 1, where the Lord says, you know, get away with it. Away with all your feasts and your new moons and your and all of the things that God himself commanded. Whenever they were doing it with sin in their hearts, it was a polluted thing to God. He didn't want to see it or hear it. So I just wanted to cover that one just in case somebody brings that up to you. Now there are many references in the Psalms to praising the Lord with musical instruments, including trumpets and psalteries, harps, stringed instruments, organs, and cymbals. And we'll read about them here in Psalm 150, verses 3 through 5. And you'll read in other places in the Psalms about praising the Lord with all these instruments. And they, in fact, did this in the Old Testament worship service. People will use this. This is one of the major arguments that they'll use to say, well, if people did it and God was happy with it back then why can't we do it now? I'll answer that question in just a second. Psalm 150, 3 through 5 says, praise him with the sound of the trumpet, praise him with the psaltery and harp, praise him with the timbrel and dance, praise him with the stringed instruments and organs, praise him upon the loud cymbals, praise him upon the high sounding cymbals, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. Now let me ask you a question. If an error proves anything, it proves too much. So people, maybe in Methodist churches or Presbyterian churches or Baptist churches, you know, people that are fairly subdued and you know, aren't exactly flamboyant, they would like the piano, and they would say, well, I mean, the Old Testament says we ought to have instruments. Why can't we have them? Because they want the piano. Well, okay, take your piano, and then it says, praise him with the timbrel and dance. So, you prudish people, get up and start dancing in church. You know, if you want to use this verse to say that we ought to use instruments in church, then you better get up and dance along to those instruments too. That's another reason why you don't want instruments in this church. You've never seen me dance, nor will you ever. I thank the Lord. I would. If God told me to, I would. But I thank the Lord he did not tell us to dance in the New Testament church. Thank the Lord. That would be highly embarrassing. And I'm not against dancing. I'm just against me dancing. Okay? I'm not against you dancing. That's fine. I think people that can dance, I like watching people dance. But not me. Okay, so yes, God gave many references there in the book of Psalms about praising him with musical instruments. But I want you to remember four things. First of all, the idea of worshiping God with those instruments was invented by David, not God. I've made that abundantly clear. Secondly, God permitted it, but it was not his original design, just like polygamy and divorce and remarriage. Thirdly, using instruments in worship was a statute for Israel, not for the New Testament church. Psalm 81, 1 through 4. Psalm 81, 1 through 4. So sing aloud unto God our strength, make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob, take a psalm, and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp, with the psaltery. Blow upon the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed, on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel, and a law for the God of Jacob. This was a statute for Israel. This is not a statute for the New Testament church. It was a statute for the nation of Israel under the law. And even that, it was something that God allowed and then regulated. It was not his original design, as I've already shown you. And fourthly, we get our instructions for worshiping God in the New Testament church from the New Testament, not the Old Testament. So even if the Old Testament did command Israel to worship God with musical instruments, and even if God himself came up with the idea in the Old Testament, which he didn't, but even if he did and he commanded Israel to worship him with musical instruments in the Old Testament, if that same God does not command us to do so in the New Testament, we don't do it. Because the Testament has changed. The old has been put away, the new is brought in, and if it is not brought over, then we are not under it. And I will get into that in much greater detail next week, Lord willing.